Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners all around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four distinctive and diverse personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. Seated on my right, we're delighted to welcome back that outstanding player of the game, Paul Merton, and seated beside him, someone who hasn't played the game for quite a while. It's lovely to have Maureen Lipman with us, and seated on my left is Pam Ayres, that lovely poetess or poet. I don't know which you like, the masculine or the feminine. And beside him that
I am a woman, Nicholas.
I know, but actors, whether male or female, like to be called actors.
I know, but I'm not at all militant about these things.
I'm delighted because I know you've got a strong right arm as well, my love. And seated also beside Pam, the escapee from the Now Show, it's Marcus Brigstocke. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute has come from the Hay Festival in Hay on Wye, and we have a delightful, very wet audience in front of us here who have come to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject here in front of me is Timbuktu. Tell us something about Timbuktu in this game, starting now.
I understand that Timbuktu is twinned with Hay on Wye. In that case, it must be a very wet place indeed. I've not been here before, and I understand it's not always like this, but as we look...
Marcus, you've challenged.
Repetition of I understand.
Yes.
Yes.
What?
This is what you're supposed to do. Paul, I'm very, very sorry.
You weren't to know.
Yes, all right. Marcus, a correct challenge. Yes, so you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of Timbuktu, and there are 49 seconds available starting now.
Interestingly, I was at school with a boy called Tim Buck, and whenever we used to go somewhere, people would say, bring Tim Buck too, and we did. But we never had the opportunity to visit.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of Tim Buck.
Yes. Well,
it's
listen,
all right.
Paul,
you want to know.
You know how to play the game. So you've got the subject back, Paul. You've got a correct challenge there, point for that. Timbuktu is back with you and 38 seconds available, starting now.
I remember the last time I was in Timbuktu. As I walked along the high street, I noticed the mountains in the distance, and I thought to myself, one day I will climb those edifices. And I did.
Pam, challenge.
It's very flat.
Is it? What was I looking at then?
Pam is right, it's all desert.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
I might be mixing up with Reigate.
There aren't many mountains there either. It's just the South Downs.
It means belly button, doesn't it?
Does it?
Does it?
Yeah.
What? Reigate?
What does?
Buktu.
No.
French for belly button.
Pam, I agree with you. Mali is a very flat desert nation. And 26 seconds starting now.
I always used to hate the expression Timbuktu because if I had lost something and asked my mother where it was, she would say somewhat impatiently, for all I know, it's gone to Timbuktu. And then you'd feel somewhat crestfallen because you were assured that...
Morning challenged.
Repetition of because?
Yes, okay. You did say because twice. So we've all spoken on this round. That's great. Maureen, you're in on the subject of Timbuktu.
Well,
8 seconds available, starting now.
Timbuktu is a place in the world, and it's What?
Maureen, I think they enjoyed that so much, I'm going to give you a bonus point. But, Marcus, you challenged first.
Yes,
why did
a
you
sort
challenge
of mixture of hesitation and repetition.
Well, I think just be generous and give a one, a hesitation.
Okay, right? Yes.
Right, Marcus, you've got in with 4 seconds to go, Timbuktu starting now.
Timbuktu has become euphemistic for things and places...
A
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Marcus Brigstock. So Marcus and Maureen both got 2 points, and Pam and Paula both got 1 point. So you can work out what the situation is. Maureen, will you start the next round? The subject is a war of words. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A war of words is generally a battle between two protagonists, like of the literary variety, often with people like, say, A.A. Gill, so good they named him twice.
Challenged.
I'm afraid it was a repetition of like.
Yes, a like. You did say like twice, I'm afraid.
Well, I haven't played it for a long time.
I know.
Give us a point, Nicholas.
Right. I've given you one bonus. I'll find another one later on, darling. Don't worry. I think you're lovely anyway. And so are you, Pam. I've said that before, but anyway.
They've finally got two women on the panel of the right age for Nicholas.
Combined.
You mean Marcus and. You mean Marcus is too young for me, is he? Right. You're seeing a different side to me, are you, Paul?
Yes.
You look at me like that.
One I remember with some bitterness. That
52 seconds, Pam. A war of words starting now.
The quotation which I just enunciated must be a great consolation to the likes of A.A. Gill.
Paul, yes, we know the challenge.
Repetition of A.
A.
Well, that's not fair.
No, it isn't. It's part of the rules of just a minute, and it always gets a laugh. Right, so... Paul, you have the subject. There's 40 seconds available. A war of words starting now.
So named because his real names are Automobile Association. I was recently walking down the street in Timbuktu when I suddenly thought to myself, where have all the mountains gone? This used to be a place where you could climb great peaks, but now it's as flat as anything. If you look...
A Pam challenge.
Deviation. He's talking about Timbuktu and we've moved on.
Some of us have moved on, some of us are still seeking closure.
I think Paul deserves a bonus point for that last remark of his.
Yeah, it was very
But Pam,
nice.
You had a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. And you have 25 seconds back with you. A war of words starting now.
A war of words never hurts anyone because words can be soft and gentle and caress people. I'm really floundering here, as you can tell.
Maureen challenge.
People.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
yes, people.
Yes, well, I listen, was Maureen. Floundering there.
Right, take a deep breath, Maureen. A war of words, and you have 17 seconds starting now.
Between people like A, which is followed by another alphabetical... I just can't get the bile in about A.A. Gill, and I so want to.
Marcus, you challenged first. What was it?
It was a hesitation.
Yes, indeed. 12
Senility,
seconds.
Senility, darling. Never mind.
12 seconds. A war of words with you, Marcus, starting now.
A war of words is all that Prince Harry has left since they decided that he's not allowed to go to Iraq and fight an actual war on account of he might...
At the end of that round, with Marcus getting the extra point for speaking as the whistle went, he has moved forward. Oh, it's incredible. They're all equal with 3 points. And Marcus, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is the aristocracy. Can you tell us something about that in this game? The aristocracy, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think that many of us mistake the aristocracy for people who are mentally ill, and that's not strictly their fault. It's just because they are inclined to say things like, "Oh, hello," and that is very baffling if you've never met them before. Now, the aristocracy have always owned huge tracts of land. In fact, many of them are in possession of so much...
Pauline challenge.
Was there a repetition of in fact?
No, I don't think so.
Well, don't look at me. I've no idea. I was thinking so hard, I've given myself a nosebleed.
Sorry, okay. Maureen, no.
Take it back.
Incorrect. So, Marcus, you still have the aristocracy, and 38 seconds starting now.
Not all of the aristocracy have webbed feet, but many of them do, and that is something that they are ferociously proud of, and it does make them tremendous swimmers. Now, when they are in the lakes that they have in their overly large gardens, they tend to propel themselves with their bizarre flipper-like feet from years of...
Paul Chance.
There was a hesitation there. There was an R.
Definitely, yes.
There was a big R, sadly.
So, Paul, you've gone in with 16 seconds to go. Tell us something about the aristocracy starting now.
I remember when I first came into contact with the aristocracy, I was with Nicholas Parsons, and he said, come with me to this marvellous castle that I know somewhere deep in the heart of Scotland. And, you know, I was Roger Census... by the old Duke himself. Right. And a souvenir tea
Maureen,
towel as well.
you challenge in the middle of the Rogering.
Yeah, it's let me down all my life. I heard a repetition of you know.
Yes, he did say you know. It's really one of his impersonation of the aristocracy. So 3 seconds available for you, Maureen, on the aristocracy starting now.
Well, of course, I played Joyce Grenfell for quite a long time, you know. When...
So, Maureen Lipman was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's moved forward, and she's now in second place, actually, one behind Marcus Brigstocke, and only one ahead of Paul Merton and Pam Ayres. And Maureen, will you start the next round? The subject, A Beginner's Guide. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, you can get a beginner's guide to almost anything. You can get a beginner's guide to car maintenance.
Marcus Challenge.
Sorry, it's a repetition of you can get.
You can get, I'm afraid. You can get a beginner's guide.
Really, really crap at this.
Now, look here.
I know.
Nicholas, you're supposed to say, no, you're not, you're not.
Yeah. Just a look on Maureen's face that has now got that big laugh, because we're waiting for her to pounce when Marcus begins with a subject with 56 seconds on a beginner's guide starting now.
When I was in the Cub Scouts, there was a particularly game guide in the guide's movement.
Pam Challenge.
I thought that was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, Pam.
It was an extended in the. I don't know if that counts.
Well, you deserved it.
Pam, you have 51 seconds. Tell us something about a beginner's guide starting now.
I like beginner's guides because no one ever says, that is a really stupid, infantile question and makes you feel like a heel. Beginner's guides are really nice if you are starting out on something which you've never done before and which... No, I've blown it.
Maureen, yes.
Yes, just a general kind of all-purpose garble, wasn't it?
How dare you!
Of the kind I'm about to do.
So you've got in, Maureen, on a beginner's guide, and 31 seconds starting now.
I'd like to have a...
Paul Challenge.
Well, just it saves time, really, doesn't it?
Well, Maureen gets a point because she was interrupted. You get a point because the audience enjoyed it. And Maureen, you still have 30 seconds to tell us something about a beginner's guide starting now.
I'd like a beginner's guide to tango because I'm absolutely obsessed with that dance. And I'd also like a beginner's guide to how to learn a language without ever stopping to hesitate.
Paul Challenge.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Paul. So you tell us something about a beginner's guide. 21 seconds available, starting now.
For those of you who've got a head like a sieve, can I recommend a beginner's guide, which is now available in the bookshop just outside this tent? It's a magnificent work. It's written by the man who I mentioned earlier, and I can't say him again because that would be repetition, but it's a magnificent approach.
Maureen Challenge.
That was a magnificent repetition.
Yes, magnificent. You couldn't resist it. Right. So, Maureen, you've got in with 8 seconds. Tell us more about a beginner's guide starting now.
A beginner's guide to understanding your fellow human being and the environment of the world would be something worth having, would it not? In fact, I think that particular book...
So Maureen Nickman was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with others in the round, she has leapt forward. She's now in second place, one behind Paul Merton and just ahead of Marcus Brigstock and Pam Ayres. And Marcus, it's your turn to begin. The subject, oh gosh, is rather sad. A brush with death.
Okay.
Oh, we've never had sort of sombre subjects like that before. So anyway, do your best, Marcus. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
When I was at school, a certain matron used to use a sharp and infected knit comb, and we used to refer to it as a brush with death. Of course, it wasn't, and that's not what a brush with death really means. What it really... Oh, damn!
Pam, challenge.
What it, repetition
yes,
of what it.
Hesitation. Right, Pam, you have the subject. A brush with death. 46 seconds, starting now.
I own an enormous Cotswold ram called Gabriel Oaks, and if anybody is foolish enough to venture into his field, you are risking a very real and authentic brush with death, because he has got a foul temper, particularly in the mating season, when ewes are in insufficient supply. That is all I can think of to say.
And Marcus challenged first.
So yes,
hesitation. A brush with death, Marcus, and 21 seconds starting now.
I wonder if anyone here ever saw the children's programme Basil Brush with Death, in which every time that fox told a joke, he said, boom, just the once, and people exploded because of the force of his humour. He would then spin round and whip them to pieces with a karate chop.
Paul challenge.
There was a slight hesitation.
There was a hesitation, Paul, and you have 2 seconds. Brush with... Four people didn't want you to have it, but... 2 seconds. A brush with death, Paul, starting now.
I've got a very interesting story about a brush with death, but...
Right, so Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, and he gained that extra point for doing so, and he has leapt forward. I think he's got another point there, yes. And he's now in the lead, one ahead of Maureen Lipman, and 2 or 3 ahead of Pam Ayres and Marcus Brigstock. Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is my favourite sin. This is going to be fun. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
My favourite sin? Well, there are so many to choose from, aren't there? If we just catalogue and list them now, then maybe I can get to the end of the minute without particularly addressing the subject. Yes, my favourite sin is undoubtedly gluttony. I can't stop eating. I love it.
That wasn't a pause, that was a cavern.
Why talk when you can eat?
And, he's sitting next to a Jewish mother and says a word like that, I'm going to have to marry him.
46 seconds on my favourite sin, starting now.
I think my favourite sin is covetousness, because I don't understand what it means. I understand envy, I understand jealousy. But I always do
Marcus
that.
Marcus challenge.
I've got this way of errating, haven't I?
I've got to stop. It's a very literary style. Which is apt for... By the way, if you can hear occasional squeaking or groaning noises, it's not my aged bones. It is because we're in this tent here at Hay on Wye, and occasionally the wind makes a... like that, you see.
Yes, it sounds just like booing. We tell him that every time. It's, it's the building.
Right.
It's a booing building, Nicholas. The last show here went so badly, you can still hear the boos echoing.
So, Marcus, I think you challenge first.
Yes.
Right, and you have 42 seconds on my favourite sin starting now.
Undoubtedly, my favourite sin is driving crisp packets into people's hedges. I take a massive amount of enjoyment.
Paul, challenge.
Driving? Driving crisp packets?
Yes, you can't
install
fling them
with a little motor.
No. The packet's too light to fling into a hedge. You have to drive it in. Otherwise, the crisp packet won't stay in someone's hedge. They'll find it immediately and remove it.
Oh, I see. It's much more complicated than I imagined.
I mean, if you'd said push, it might have been a bit, but everybody thought you were getting your motor car.
No, pushing won't work. You'll uproot the hedge, Nicholas. You have to drive it in.
You can't use
a car.
I know. Can I ask what is the purpose of the exercise?
Well, I don't know. Have I still got the subject?
Yes, you have.
let's find out why he does it, Nicholas.
No, no, he has still got the subject. We give him the benefit of the doubt on his description, yeah. And he's environmentally so unfriendly, I'd rather he didn't have it, but it's... there are 34 seconds. My favourite sin, Marcus, starting now.
When I've finished eating my slices of fried, salty, vinegary potato matter, it really does give me a tremendous amount of pleasure to take the packet, oh damn packet, and pour.
Repetition of packet, oh damn packet.
Oh damn. Oh. This show gets quite Shakespearean on occasions, doesn't it? Right, 23 seconds. My favourite sin starting now.
My favourite sin is removing crisp bags from hedges. I didn't put them there, but they're driven right in. There's no way you can get them out. If this has been pushed, I would have accepted that, but the amount of driving involved is intense. Somebody has obviously got it in their heads to go round Britain and to despoil our wonderful green countryside with these cellophane-wrapped bits of...
Maureen,
what is a cellophane? Is it something I...
Mobile phone. Okay. It sounds like cellophane.
I think that's deviation from the language as we understand it. Yes.
Is it?
Yes, it was. Because I mean, cellophane, yes, but cellophone. Lovely
you talk
thought.
Like an Italian. I got my cellophone here. Yeah.
Maureen, yes. You've got 4 seconds to tell us something about my favourite sin, starting now.
Well, on the subject of the adultery sin, let's talk about that for a while. For 4 seconds.
So, Maureen Lipman, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton, and they're only just ahead of Marcus Bigstock and Pam Ayres in that order. And Maureen, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is now playing to the crowd, something we never do in this show, do we? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Playing to the crowd means that you get up there and you show off, and I've been doing it since birth. I've been doing the...
I have. Yes, Pam.
I've been yes, a repetition of I've yes. been. Sorry,
been
Maureen.
Well. I know.
No, it's her literary style which
keeps
trips her up here. 54 seconds, Pam, with you. Another point, of course, playing to the crowd, starting now.
When I hear the expression play into the crowd, I see a mental image of somebody like Wayne Rooney having just done something magnificent and triumphant in a football match, doing what appears to me to be a pelvic thrust.
Maureen challenge.
Doing.
There were two doings.
Oh, below.
Wayne Rooney was doing it.
It was the thought of the pelvic thrust that got me excited.
Yeah. Maureen, another point to you in 40 seconds on playing to the crowd, starting now.
Playing to the crowd, as I was saying earlier, is getting up and showing off in front of a whole bunch of people.
Poor challenge.
Well, unfortunately, as you said earlier, that makes it repetition. You did say get up and show off and...
Oh!
Did say the whole thing.
You did say... But I don't think she actually said any of those words earlier.
Well, showing off...
Oh, showing off, yeah. You're quite right.
Yes. I said every word well, twice, listen, didn't
yes.
I?
Oh. So, Paul, 36 seconds on playing to the crowd, starting now.
It's an expression which means that sometimes you ignore your...
Maureen challenge.
There was a stumble there, an hesitation. It's an expression that suddenly says... No?
No.
Oh, it's that noise again, Nicola. Sorry.
They must have hated that last show so much.
Maureen, a moment ago, you had this audience in the palm of your hand, but
now they're booing me.
Certainly pushed them over. So Paul was interrupted, and he has 33 seconds. Another point, of course, playing to the crowd, starting now.
The first time I was on stage at the Hackney Empire, Mr. Roland Muldoon, who was running that venue at the time, said, "When you stand here on this platform, look very high up because the balconies right at the top are extremely steep." And it was a good way of knowing that you have to look at various parts of the.
And Maureen challenge.
Look. Look right up.
Yes,
look
yes,
right
yes,
up.
Yes.
Look right up.
Look right up.
Walk right in.
And Maureen, we're in the last round. The two of you are battling out for the lead. You've got 18 seconds playing to the crowd, starting now.
Somebody like Tom Jones plays to the crowd, and that's why women throw 400 pairs of knickers at him a night. Now, do they get gathered up afterwards?
Paul Chance.
Is that really an accurate figure?
I don't know if he's got an accurate figure now. He used to be quite chatty. It was certainly at the Regal in Hull that 400 pairs of knickers were found, but it was a Beatles concert.
I don't think they counted them, actually, Maureen. So Paul has a legitimate point, and so in one sense you were deviating, so we get a point for that. But you... No. No, but Maureen also gets a point because she was interrupted. And also her comeback was rather lovely, so it actually reinforces my decision.
Oh, now who's playing to the crowd? And you can all have cake to take home.
As I said, we're playing.
Whatever you do, don't let Nicholas invite you to a castle for a weekend.
Otherwise, I might bring my friend Roger with me.
That's how it was explained to me.
Officer.
10 seconds, Maureen, playing to the crowd, starting now.
Because you gave it to him.
No, my darling.
You said that my numbers were wrong, 400.
No, I gave him a point because we enjoyed his interruption.
Okay.
But you got a point for being interrupted.
Okay, I'm ready now.
You're ready now. Legitimately, I should take it away because you mouth, but it doesn't matter.
I know, but...
We go back to 10 seconds, Maureen. Playing to the crowd, starting now.
Playing to the crowd is something that we're all doing this afternoon, sitting in this tent in a very wet place. You don't know it's wet, and I don't know it's
Mark
wet.
Mark is challenged.
Yes, I'm afraid that's deviation. Those of us on the panel are playing to the crowd, but you said everyone in the tent, and they are the crowd, so... Bye.
Yes, a subtle challenge, but correct. And 4 seconds for you, Marcus, playing to the crowd, starting now.
George W. Gump plays to the crowd.
Paul challenge.
I thought you were going to say George W. Bush and you got it wrong. Then after I'd buzz, I thought, well, the likelihood he probably wouldn't get that wrong. So it's a bad challenge, I'm afraid. But
yes,
there we are.
It was a bad challenge. He gets a point
for
it.
He does, yes.
But he's got another point, and he has 3 seconds on playing to the crowd, starting now.
His crowd being gun-toting Republican Americans, and they like...
So let me now give you the final score. Pam Ayres, who hasn't played the game for quite a while, came from nowhere and finished in a magnificent fourth place. Marcus, with all his verve and tenacity, finished in a brilliant third place. But we have a very fair and interesting and delightful finish because we have 2 people equal in the lead, which is Paul Merton with Maureen Lipman, our joint winners. Well, that is all we had time for, so it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 delightful players again, Paul Merton, Maureen Lipman, Pam Ayres, and Marcus Brigstock. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with great aplomb. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We are very grateful to our producer, Talusha Galani, and we are more than grateful to this lovely audience in this very wet tent here at the Guardian Hay Festival in Hay-on-Wye, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From that audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, thank you. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!